Well, we've been having a series of expositions on the Shema that we say every Shabbat morning and that we said today. And we finished the first line, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Today we start on the second line, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuto Leolam Voed. And so the title of today's message is Blessed Be the Name. One of the fascinations for me as a believer, a learner, a researcher, and a teacher is how important names are. In North America and probably most of the Western world, names form really merely labels. Hi, I'm John Smith or Mary Brown, or whatever my label is that I've inherited from my parents or have been given by my spouse. In the world of Adonai Yeshua, though, and much further back to the time of Adam and Chava, names were more than just labels. Names often defined the people who wore them. For example, let's examine the names of Naomi, her husband, and her two sons, as found in the story of Ruth. Naomi in Hebrew means pleasantness, and obviously reflects her character and the relationship she had with Ruth, which encouraged Ruth to want to stay with her when her husband died. Naomi's husband was Elimelech, meaning my God is king. However, the sages have recast his label, since they believe a strong man could not have left his people in the middle of a famine. In disappointment or disapproval, they renamed him Elimelech, which means kingship is due to me. By the reasoning of the name change, Naomi's husband was labeled selfish and arrogant, as evidenced by his abandoning his people during a time of strife. Naomi's older son's name was Mahlon, which means sickness, and her younger son was Kilion, meaning extermination. Obviously, these two sons of Naomi lived out the determination of their names. Ruth's name translates to companion, friend, vision of beauty. Clearly, she lived out her name as companion to Naomi, friends of those around her, and a vision of beauty for Boaz. In the Middle Ages, names were also used to designate function or characteristic. Many names were derived from the occupations that people engaged in. For example, Miller came from the one who milled. Many names, though, were derived from scripture. Peter, for example, originated from the Greek Petros and was transliterated into many foreign languages, such as Pius in French, Petros in German, and Peter in Norwegian. The use of the name Mary is obvious. In Greek, her name is Maria, which is derived from the Hebrew Miriam and has many meanings, ranging from wished for child, bitter, rebellious, and strong water. Miriam, the sister of Moshe, had a reputation which obviously carried on, whereas Miriam, mother of Adonai Yeshua, was the wished for child for the wished for child. Given what has been taking place in Messianic circles, I've waited too long to deliver a message on the names of God, partly out of trepidation, since these are many stormy waters into which I am venturing, and partly from a lack of knowledge. This message has taken considerable research and time. Time is a very valuable and scarce commodity. However, let me state most emphatically, without fear of being contradicted, there is only one name for God, and that name is a mystery to us. This mysterious name is represented by the tetragrammaton Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, the ineffable name. Everything else applied to our supreme ruler is a descriptor, an attribute or a signifier, but not a name. Even the current phase of the ad nauseum use of Yah for anything associated with his name is a descriptor and is a diminutive of Yahweh, an attempt to run Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh together to create a flowing sound rather than discreetly pronouncing the letters. Incidentally, remember 2 weeks ago I shared with you the name Adonai Tzevaot gave Moses when he asked how he should call him before the Israelites. Acheh, Asher, Acheh. I am that I am. Scripture has recounted more than 100 names by which Adonai Elohim Tzevaot, Lord God Almighty, has been called. This week's message, then, is designated to display and discuss some of the more clearly accurate words used to describe our El Shaddai. I shall not go over all 100, or we would be here until 4 o'clock this afternoon. I find this most interesting, that the two most common names for God in transliterated English, Adonai and Elohim, are both in the plural form. The singular of these names for God are Adon, meaning master or lord, and when used in the lowercase, refers to a landowner and master, and as we discussed last Shabbat, when used in the uppercase, means El. You may see its similarity to Adonis, the Greek demigod of youthful beauty. Lest you have fear, the Greek stole the name from the Hebrew, not the other way around. Adon, meaning lord, master, owner, sovereign, etc., is the origin of the Greek Adonis. And here we see in the plural how the triunity meaning of lords, masters, and rulers came to be applied to the members of the Trinity. A similar explanation applies to Elohim, the plural of El. The most common use of the singular is Eloah, which provides the attributes mighty, strong, and prominent. Indeed, Eloah is used in Exodus 21 when Adonai explained what would happen when a slave decided to stay with his master at the end of his seven-year servitude. Then his master is to bring him before God, and there at the doorpost, or door, the master, Eloah, is to pierce his ear with an awl. While Eloah is used very rarely in Scripture, El is used extensively more than 250 times. How has the name of El evolved? Strong's Concordance uses the word strength and mighty as attributes of God. Thus, the name El comes his attributes. Some scholars claim El originates from the ancient Akkadian, the oldest recorded Semitic language thought to have evolved from Assyrio-Babylonian and is now extinct. Our Hebrew scripture, though, provides us with many uses of the word El and Adonai and the adjectives used to describe God's attributes. For example, from Genesis 17, when Avram was 99 years old, Adonai appeared to Avram and said to him, "I am El Shaddai. Walk in my presence and be pure-hearted." As Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh approached Avram to strike a covenant with him and to bless his family, he introduced himself most clearly as El Shaddai, Almighty God, or God Almighty. How fitting, we know our great God as Almighty. For he is our all in all. There is none other who can be what he is to us. And then we come to the descriptor El Elyon, God Most High. We read in Genesis 14, Melchizedek, king of Shalem, brought out bread and wine. He was Kohen of El Elyon. Abraham has returned from rescuing Lot from the king of Sodom, and lost him again as his nephew decided to go off on his own. As he passed the kingdom of Salem, he met the righteous priest king, believed by most scholars to be the pre-incarnate Adonai Yeshua. Isn't this the great desire of us all? To be with El Elyon, God Most High, as he leads us to the new promised land, his new Jerusalem. Amen. And what about El Gibor, strong and mighty God? From Isaiah 10, a remnant will return, the remnant of Yaakov. Isaiah, the messianic prophet, shares with Israel the hope of God's strength, returning a remnant from Assyrian captivity. This speaks to us today as we will be given the hope of a remnant of believers who will survive Yaakov's sorrows, the time of the tribulation, and usher in with Adonai Yeshua the thousand-year reign. And how do we respond to El Roi, God who beholds? So she, Hagar, named Adonai, who had spoken with her, El Roi, God of seeing, because she said, have I really seen the one who sees me? Hagar, when she leaves Abraham's camp because of the turmoil between her and Sarai, is confronted by the angel of Adonai, who tells her to return to the camp because she is pregnant with Ishmael. How will you react when you gaze upon the one who saved you? Will you stand before him in awe? Will you fall on your knees and worship him? Will you be able to say anything at all in his presence? Just imagine the magnificence of our beloved Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, our beloved Abba, a magnificence overwhelming all our human senses. And having thought of that, we then come to Adonai Yireh, God who sees and provides. Abraham called the place Adonai Yireh, Adonai will see to it, Adonai provides. As it is said to this day, on the mountain Adonai is seen. Hallelujah. For the God of Abraham raises the faith of our patriarch and announces to the world a substitutionary sacrifice would be there for us. Adonai Yeshua, our sacrificial lamb, has taken our place on the stake of execution and has carried our sins to Sheol. Indeed, how he has provided for us. And then we have Adonai Rephecha, God, your healer. He said, if you will listen intently to the voice of Adonai, your God, do what he considers right, pay attention to his mitzvot, and observe his laws, I will not afflict you with any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, because I am Adonai, your healer. The Israelites have escaped the wrath of Pharaoh and have seen God's judgment upon his army and his people. It is here at the Sea of Reeds, our great God promises us he will not allow the spiritual and physical diseases that afflicted the unbelieving Egyptians to attack us if we but follow his commands and observe his mitzvot. What a big if that is. And what about our current generation who do not follow his mitzvot, who do not follow his commands and are standing outside of his grace and his protection, who do not receive his healing because they are rebellious, because they have moved away from him? And what is our job here? What is our mitzvot? As Adonai Yeshua has commanded us, we are to go to them. We are to warn them of the impending disaster that is about to befall them. That we are to share with them what they are heading towards, because they rebel against him, Jew and Gentile alike. All who have heard the message and reject it. Adonai Nisi, God is my banner. Moshe built an altar, called it Adonai Nisi, Adonai is my banner, Adonai is my miracle. Imagine having God on our side when we go to war. We wouldn't have to carry any weapons at all. That is exactly what will happen when we face the enemy and call out for his aid. I've shared this with you before, but many of you weren't here then to hear it. I recall a few years ago, our first year in Winnipeg, as a matter of fact, Chantal and I went to theater, and as we are leaving, we're walking out to go to the car, and there's a fellow walking about 3 meters aside following us. So we turn around and go the other way. He turns around and keeps pace with us as we go back. So we turn around and go the other way, and he keeps pace with us going back. And the thought comes into my head, he's waiting for an opportunity to mug us. So I just grabbed Chantal's hand and I said, Adonai, Yeshua, protect us. All of a sudden, he fell to his knees for no understandable reason. He fell to his knees, we walked on, and he didn't follow us again. There are thousands of testaments to his securing his children in times of affliction, trouble, and battle. But we can do more than merely hope. We are given the assurance of expectation of his help. Believe in this, and it will be. And here's one we don't hear very often. Adonai Mechadishechem, God who sanctifies. I am Adonai who sets you apart for me. Keeping his Shabbat is the sign we are kadosh, set apart for him. This sanctifies us as his and his alone. Is this too much trouble to ask in order that we might be righteous in his sight? I think not. Based on his command, keep my Sabbath and make it holy. That is a direct command for us, whether we are Jew or Gentile. And it stands forever, and Adonai Yeshua himself reiterated that, if you love me, you will keep my commands. And his commands are all of them, not just 9 of them, but all 10 of them, including the fourth command, keep my Sabbath and make it holy. And then he will give us peace because he is Adonai Shalom, the God of peace. Then Gideon built an altar there to Adonai and called it Adonai Shalom. Some time ago, I delivered a message on Gideon and how he was used by Adonai Elohim. Before he was chosen, you might have called him Gideon the mouse. But Adonai lifted him out of the winepress and gave him the strength of hundreds as he led Israel against Midian. Imagine our being given the strength of thousands as we stand firm against the onslaught of the enemy and his minions, unbelievers and sinners all. One last stand against evil. Hallelujah. Amen? And truly, God is our saving grace, Adonai Tzidikenu. The name given to him will be Adonai Tzidikenu, Adonai our righteousness, from Jeremiah 23. Judah has been taken by the Assyrians and Israel by the Babylonians. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, has been told by Yud-Heh, Vav-Heh, of the salvation which will come to his people, what a promise we can cling to as we look forward to that glorious day when we stand before his throne of justice as his secure children, the righteous of Adonai Yeshua. In Isaiah, we are given more of the secrets of his name as we read in Isaiah 9, Pele Yoetz, Wonderful Counselor. You may recall Isaiah is announcing the arrival of Messiah Yeshua to an unreceptive audience in Jerusalem around 730 BCE, 29 years before the Assyrians laid siege to Jerusalem. I wonder what the people of God's holy city might have done had they known he was coming. Here we are more than 2,700 years later, and the world hears he is returning. How many millions of our fellow human beings have heard this wonderful news and disregard it so easily? I mean, it's like a man in the ocean fluttering around in the water and somebody throws him a life ring or buoy. And he says, no, thank you, I can do this on my own. Well, good luck. Good luck. For there's no way that we can do it on our own. Only through his grace and by emunah, faith, trust in action, will it happen. We read of our counselor, Adonai Yeshua, and Ruach HaKadosh elsewhere in Tanakh, especially Psalm 16, I bless Adonai, my counselor, and Psalm 106, but soon they forgot his deeds and wouldn't wait for his counsel, referring to the Israelites who forgot what their Abba had done for them in saving them from Egypt. Adonai Yeshua has saved us from our own personal Egypts, the hell pits of our sins, and offers eternal life to those who only need to demonstrate emunah, trust in action. How many of us have received this glorious gift, his glorious gift, freely through grace, and have squandered it by hoarding it, like the sinful servant in Adonai Yeshua's parable, who replied to his master when the day of reckoning arrived, sir, here is your manah, your coin. I kept it hidden in a piece of cloth because I was afraid of you. You take what you didn't put in and you harvest what you didn't plant. How many of us will be standing before him pleading we were afraid to share his word with others, or to spread his gospel because of the fear of rejection, because of the fear of being laughed at and scorned, because of the fear of. Then in John 14 we read, I will ask the Father and he will give you another comforting counselor like me, the Spirit of truth, to be with you forever. However, how often do we forget the preceding condition placed before us by Adonai Yeshua? If you love me, you will keep my commands, and that's never read. That is never read in connection with, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforting counselor. This is a conditional covenant. It is not an unconditional covenant. If we follow his commands, then he will give us the counselor, Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit. If we don't follow his commands, the Holy Spirit will not come to us. That is Adonai Yeshua's promise. Have we forgotten that there was and still is this condition attached to the covenant of Ruach HaKadosh? Then we have Aviad, Eternal Father. Eternal Father is a particularly powerful descriptor for our Heavenly Father and Messiah, Adonai Yeshua. As we will discover in 2 weeks, His kingdom is eternal. It is the only permanent kingdom that has and ever will exist, and that is because He is our Eternal Father. There have been many kings and emperors, tyrants and dictators, who have appeared for a brief time in the history of mankind, only to be secured in the pages of long discarded history books. And then we have Prince of Peace, Tsar Shalom. What a marvelous name for our Messiah Yeshua. During his 1,000-year reign, he will be our herald of peace, bringing opportunities for all his new believers to live out their existence in a world ruled by his principles and standards found still today in Torah. But before we go any further, I must warn you of a challenge to all of us. There are those within the Messianic movement who claim to have received the sacred name of God through revelation. If you wonder if there's any truth to this, I urge you to read Judges 13, where Manoah, the father of Shimshon, Samson, asked for the name of God, whereupon the angel of Adonai said, "Why are you asking about my name? It is wonderful," meaning filled with wonder and therefore secret. We may never be given the wonder of his name in our human forms, and we are told not to seek it out. But we are human and have the human nature, which means to be curious, and to be curious means to seek out the unseekable. Beloved, do not be led astray. It is obvious there are heresies which have developed from man's insatiable desire to fully understand, and when they cannot, to control. And when that seems impossible, finally, to strive to become God themselves. I grieve for them and their hazardous journey into idolatry. One of the most recent attempts to control his name, and as a result to control his word, may be seen in the group known as Yahuwans. Adherents to this body of believers claim they have discovered the correct pronunciation of Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh as Yahuwah, and that of his son Yahushua. If it were just the idea of restating the pronunciation of Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, then there would be little issue. However, this group has attempted to recast the name of Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh and remove all descriptions, which are attempts by man to speak to him in ways which are comfortable and avoid speaking the name we do not know. Here is what they say about labels placed around the name of Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, and I quote, "The problem with using a word or a title that can be just as readily applied to a pagan deity is that there is no power in titles. Titles do not inspire faith in the power and love behind the divine name, when the same word can be used to many different people, magistrates, kings, prophets, husbands, gods. In order to call upon the name of the Heavenly Father in full faith, one must know his name." And they claim to know his name. I quote, "It has pleased Satan well that the divine name has been hidden behind the title Lord. When the name is hidden behind titles, there is no knowledge of what the name means, and thus there is no corresponding faith in the power of the loving one who bears that name. The stories of the Bible reveal that all who call upon the name receive an answer." I find this frightening, very frightening, that any body, any group of people would claim to know the name of God. when we have been told that that name is unknowable and we are not to seek it out. Because by seeking it out, we profane him. We turn him into common dross. And that is an abomination. His ineffable name will remain secret and hidden from us until he decides it is time to share it with us. Please do not be tempted to jump onto the newest bandwagon whose conductors claim to have found the meaning of the name of El Shaddai. Rely on him. Pray for his guidance and cling to his promises and covenants. These are all we need. Abba, our glorious God and Father, how your name rings in our hearts when we realize what your name means in its fullness. I pray your Holy Spirit guides us through these difficult times approaching and provides us with support when we face the pressure from others to turn from your name to accept the name of another. We know you are ours and we are yours. And we know this will ever be true. Baruch Hashem Yeshua Moshechei. Amen.